The biggest issue I see with marketers is marketers are always searching for that magic solution that's going to work, whether it's the how do I write the subject line of my email? How many characters do I have? Do I capitalize the first letter? That's not a magic bullet. It's not going to fix it.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Marketing podcast hosted by me, Katya Allison. So what have you gotten yourself into? In short, it is going to be a good time. We're going to have a great conversation, and there's going to be a little bit of learning along the way. Through insightful interviews with top marketers, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders, I get to explore the latest trends, techniques, and strategies in the world of marketing. I'm here to offer you some engaging and informative discussions to help you stay up to date on the latest trends and take your marketing skills to the next level. Now, in this episode, we are covering account-based marketing with Mike Maynard. Mike is the CEO of an employee-owned integrated B2B tech agency, Napier. He is also vice chair of global communications network, Eurocom Worldwide. Now, during our chat, we're debunking misconceptions and uncovering the true essence of ABM, also known as account-based marketing. Learn why simplifying your approach can lead to a better ROI and how networking with fellow marketers is essential, especially in specialized industries. Discover why starting with a campaign, not a tool, is the key to successful ABM implementation. Get ready to revolutionize your marketing strategies with invaluable insights from industry expert Mike Maynard. So let's get to it. Let's talk marketing. Mike, welcome on to the Let's Talk Marketing podcast. I'm so excited to have you on here to be just chatting about account-based marketing.
Oh, it's great to be on the show. Thank you very much for having me, Katya.
Absolutely. So I always like for the audience to get to know who it is that we're talking to before we dive into, you know, the nitty-gritty and the strategy. So I like to start off with my first question is, what was your first marketing role or one that you would consider marketing?
That's a great question, because I did have a first job that said marketing the job title. But actually, when I was at school, I worked as a waiter, like everybody else, you work as a waiter. And ultimately, you're waiting tables, but you're also marketing. You're also trying to sell some of the restaurant's better products, trying to hopefully upsell people. So I would probably say that was my first marketing job, even though it didn't say marketing on the tin.
I love that you said that, because it's very true. In order to get that bill to be a certain amount, so it increases your tips, you've got to be charming. You've got to be able to position yourself and the food so that people are add the extra avocado and the onions and the this and the that and the this. So I love that you said that.
Yeah, and it's more than that. It's understanding how to position the food, but it's also understanding your audience. And the kind of people who came in, and we were in a bit of a posh, old-fashioned restaurant. Even then, it's still the same. Let's call it 40 years on. It hasn't changed much. The younger people who came in, the people who were maybe 30s, 40s, were very different in what they wanted from the people who were much older. And we had a big retired contingent of people right there. So you had to understand your audience as well. It's not just as simple as trying to push the steak Diane, which for me was my favorite, I think, of what we made. But it was a lot more than that.
Yeah, I love that. That's where you started. Where are you at now? So what is your current role and what do you love about what you do?
So I'm the CEO of an agency called Napier. What I love about it, I love so much. So we help business-to-business companies market technical products to technical audiences. So we're very much a tech agency. We're working with companies like semiconductor manufacturers, like industrial automation, like communication systems manufacturers. So a whole range of really interesting companies. And I really like the fact that every day you go in, and you never quite know if you're going to be able to do what the client wants. There's always that little bit of, they're going to ask me something new. Am I going to be able to do it? And hopefully, the vast majority of the time, we come away, we've done what they wanted, the client's happy. But it is really exciting, because it's not just a case of every day is different. And I think a lot of jobs now, every day is different. Yeah. But actually, it's a case where every day you get presented with a challenge you've got to try and overcome. So for me, that's really exciting.
Oh, that's one of my favorite parts about marketing as well, too. So we are birds of the same feather there. Now, with the good, there's always the negative or the bad, I would say. So conversely, you just shared with us what you love about what you do. But if there's anything at all that I could pluck out of your job to make it even more perfect, what would that thing be?
So I think with what you get, the unfamiliar, the challenges, all of that, you also get some downsides as well. And I think anyone gets to a certain level in their career, and it's pretty much any career, not just marketing, but I think marketing particularly suffers from this problem. There's always more you can do. And you never go home at night and you go, I've ticked off everything I could possibly do. There literally is nothing else I could do on this campaign. It's never like that. There's always something more. So you're always balancing resources, budget against what you can do. And I think that's sometimes quite frustrating because you'd like to try more, you'd like to experiment more. I think, you know, everyone knows what they'd like to achieve in marketing campaigns. And really the trick is achieving as much of that as you possibly can.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And you are absolutely right. I always play this little game of if I had a magic wand, what would I do? And it always looks different, right? It's never only like, oh, if I had more money or more budget, this is what we'd be able to do. Because I think some things, and to me, this is also the fun part, some things aren't solved by throwing money at them. Some things are just forcing you to be more creative. Does that make sense?
I think so. I think time is really precious for marketers. It's very interesting for me because I've worked in marketing on client side and I've worked on the agency side, and the two are very different. So when you work in a client, particularly in a large enterprise that I was in, you don't do a lot of marketing, actually. I shouldn't really say this, but there's an awful lot of work you do that is internally focused. So you're either presenting reports, you're trying to make people happy, you've got multiple product divisions that all want your time, your attention. They all want basically to feel that you're running campaigns for them. So you're doing a lot to manage internally. And then typically you're using an agency to do the work. When you go to an agency, it's much more delivery focused. But the interesting thing is on the client side, there's no formal concept of the value of time. So you have a campaign plan and you need to get your campaign done by a certain date. But actually, if you work 1 hour a day or 8 hours a day, typically that doesn't matter. It's like you've just got to get that campaign done because that's the goal. Whereas when you come and work on an agency side, it's very much about, you know, the value of each hour and how you apply. I do think there's pros and cons with each approach. I don't think one is necessarily right and one is necessarily wrong. But certainly if I went back on to working within a client, I would think much more about the value of time and how much time we're putting in, as well as how much budget.
And time is really hard to conceptualize for a client, but also it is really hard internally as well too. Like certain things, actually maybe the perception is that things are really easy to get up and off the ground. Like we're just sending an email or there is a drip campaign, right? In theory, these sound like very simple things. And what I always like to do is I like to provide this analogy of, yes, you're absolutely right. It is not hard. It's not rocket science. There's a level of creativity that you're not always able to turn it on when it's needed. Now, if I had nothing to do and I was just waiting to write this one email drip campaign and I have this set amount of time to do it, I could do it. But that's never the way that marketing works. You're always juggling one thing or another. I mean, it's this constant flow. And I think that's also why every day does feel a little bit different, is because you're picking up like the original activity at different times and on different days of the week. So that's the way that I view marketing. And clearly, I could probably do a whole podcast just on this.
I think you're so right. I think it's really interesting because when you're in an agency, typically spending time on one client means you can't spend time on another. There's a real monetary value there. You can't bill that other client if you haven't done any work for them. If you're working client side, it's a bit different because you're not stopping billing. There's no sort of tangible money, but you're missing opportunities. There's more projects you could do, more ideas you could come up with. And I think that sometimes when you're working within a client, people miss that value of time, the value of doing more things.
No, I absolutely agree. Now, this isn't even the subject of strategy that we're talking about today, but in that same sort of vein, as far as there's always so much more that you can do, I'm really curious, especially because we live in such a digital world, do you leverage social media networks for either education, inspiration, or entertainment? And if you do, which ones do you gravitate towards and for what?
So business to business, it really is LinkedIn in my world. And it sounds very cliched and lazy, and maybe it is a bit cliched and lazy, but really that's where the B2B people gather. If you look in the consumer marketing, people are all over the place and there's so much creativity on Instagram and TikTok is amazing for a lot of consumer stuff. But although there are some B2B campaigns, and there's some great B2B campaigns there, the reality is that when it comes to networking, it very much is LinkedIn.
Yeah, it's professional. It's not too personal. It's like just personal enough, right? We celebrate people's wins, and I think that's fantastic. What about staying up to date on trends? Outside of social media, is there a newsletter, a podcast, a book? I have no idea. Is there someone that you follow just in general? How do you stay up to date on the trends?
Yeah, that's the great question. I don't think there's a way to say, this is what you do. Because I think it's really difficult to have one newsletter or one source that tells you everything. And I'm a big believer in marketing. You should read quite widely. So you should learn not only about what's happening in, for example, marketing technology tools, but you need to learn what's happening in the industries you're addressing. That's definitely two different newsletters or podcasts. So I do read quite a few newsletters. I listen to quite a lot of podcasts. Podcasts are genuinely good because you get to hear people talk about the trends, which I think is super useful. But the real thing I think you need to do is talk about trends. If we look at what we do, for example, within the agency, we run two podcasts. And, you know, hopefully nobody from the agency is listening because then they'll find out what I'm doing and it's my dirty secret. But one's basically about marketing technology and marketing technology products. I started that to talk to people I couldn't talk to. So if I was looking at a MarTech tool, you could talk to the salesperson. That's really easy. But talking to the CEO, that's really hard. You have a podcast, suddenly you get to talk to the CEO. That's amazing. You learn so much more. And then the other podcast we do, which is around marketing automation particularly, basically, I did that podcast so I can talk to Hannah, who's super smart on marketing automation, and I can learn from her. I'm sat there doing the podcast, taking a few notes as we go.
I am obsessed with that. This is the exact reason that I have my podcast, because to me, this is what I do to stay up to date on trends. I get to dive in. Like today, we're going to talk about account-based marketing, and there aren't a lot of people that you can talk to if you're like in the weeds at work, right? And I don't have time to read all of the newsletters. I wish that I did, because to your point, and I love that you brought this up, it's not just newsletters or information about marketing to stay up to date on what's happening as far as digital. But you're right, in my industry, I should be reading stuff as well too, because you have to be able to balance those things out to make really effective campaigns. Obsessed.
Absolutely. I mean, I actually got the idea of doing a podcast to meet people through another podcast, This Week in Tech, This Week in Startups, all about startups. A guy called Jason Calacanis, angel investor, talks to loads of startups. And that's really useful for me because what startups are doing is really interesting. It's creative. Typically, you're looking at startups that are in the consumer space rather than the B2B space. Quite often, they're, you know, apps they're promoting. So it's different from what we're marketing, but you can learn so much. So I think you need to get variety. There's not one magic bullet, you know. And I think this is probably the biggest issue I see with marketers, is marketers are always searching for that magic solution that's going to work, whether it's the, how do I write the subject line of my email? How many characters do I have? Do I capitalize the first letter? Do I, you know, that's not a magic bullet. It's not going to fix it. It might make it incrementally very slightly better, but it's not going to fix it. It's about a lot of things all coming together. And so I think trying to find that one magic solution is definitely a mistake a lot of marketers make, and probably me quite a lot of the time. And I think the more we can do to get away from that, the better.
Agree. Could just talk about this, but we won't, because I really want us to focus on account-based marketing. Now, I love this subject in general. Let's start off super simple. What is account-based marketing, or what is it not? I don't know if you have to often explain, actually, account-based marketing is this or not, but tell me.
So my view is people massively overcomplicate what account-based marketing is. And you look at people and, you know, there's a number of organizations that talk about account-based marketing and they theorize it, they build frameworks. And if you're really super into it, that's great because it helps you get great campaigns, be slightly better. Again, if you're not doing account-based marketing, it's such a big jump. I think that's a big mistake to think you've got to do this, you've got to do that, it's got to be like this. The answer is today, we want to personalize as much as possible. And we want to focus our budget on getting the best return on investment. So what you do is you can either try and do that across your entire world, and your world will be different depending upon what you're selling. If you're trying to sell chocolate bars, it's going to be very different to if you're trying to sell industrial motor drives. But there's a big world out there, a lot of people. trying to do that is impossible. And trying to personalize at that level and trying to get the maximum return on investment is just too difficult when you look across the whole world. So what you do is you just pick the people who you believe are most likely to impact your business and you focus your budget on there.
Do you think that there is, and this is very timely because I actually just interviewed someone and we went very deep in regards to personalization and segmentation. So is what you're describing, finding those people that you want to get to, the account part, is that different than the segmentation part? Or are they just like one and the same? Are we talking the same language when we're saying, okay, find your segment and then just market to them? Or is it much more specific than that?
So that's a great question. And people talk about different levels of account-based marketing. My view is that if you start account-based marketing, the easiest way to start is run a campaign to a small number, like literally one or two target customers, because then it's super easy to personalize. You've got two companies, you send two different ads out, you make sure they go to the two companies, you've super personalized your advertising campaign without AI, without spending money on marketing technology tools, without needing to spend hours. It's really straightforward. So you make it simple to start off with. And if you're going to be sensible, you'll make sure those two are in the same segment. So most of the ad copy, most of what you send on emails, most of the promotional material is exactly the same. You just tweak it to be personalized. And I think people should start out on ABM thinking that simply. I mean, we ran a campaign for a client and they were targeting large manufacturers and they did okay. It was a LinkedIn campaign. It did okay. It was above average. It wasn't stellar, but they were happy. And then we picked, and I think it was five companies, the five companies that they felt would be the biggest opportunity for them. And we ran personalized ads. So we literally were running ads to each company that mentioned the company in it. Nothing else, nothing amazingly clever. Just literally, you saw on LinkedIn, you saw your company logo. Actually, I don't think we even put the logo in. I think we just put the company name into the ad image. Four times the performance of what we got before. It's not rocket science. And you can do a lot that's a lot more complicated. But fundamentally, it's those thinking, how can we take what we've got that's general, make it specific, and apply it to a small number of companies that are going to give us the biggest impact in terms of the ultimate result, which for almost everybody is revenue.
What I was just going to say, what do you think the result is? But that's not the question that I want to ask. I want to ask you, in regards to those ads, what's a good call to action for those ads? And maybe what we can do is sort of break down, and we're going to be very specific with like a digital campaign, for example, right? Are we focused more from a top of funnel, middle of funnel, or bottom of funnel?
I think that's a fascinating question. And that is a question that people ask if they're not doing account-based marketing. People ask that question when they're looking across that whole world of all the potential customers. And they go, how are we going to run this campaign? Is this campaign top of funnel, middle of funnel, bottom of funnel? When people run account-based marketing, they look at the customer and they say, where is this customer? And so you'll have people running account-based marketing campaigns. So we had a client, for example, run account-based marketing campaign. They wanted a sales visit. That's all they wanted. They wanted a salesperson to go in and talk. Happened that the CEO wanted to go and meet somebody in the company, and it was one of his top target companies. So ultimately, there was a bigger goal, but they had to first get a salesperson through the door. And so literally, top of the funnel awareness, make an inquiry, absolutely just top of the funnel stuff for that particular client. In that same market, they also have customers that have been working with them for a while. And there, it's absolute bottom of the funnel. It's all about customer retention. I mean, it's beyond that first sale. Same market. And if you're looking across the whole world, even in that sector, and that sector was artificial intelligence chips manufacturers, so it was super specific. But even amongst the 30 companies that you might target there, you just go, well, they're all over the place with us. There's some top of the funnel, some we're going to guess and we're going to do this. Whereas when you start running with account-based marketing and you're focused on a very small number of companies, then you can go, this company is here. We need to move them from here to here. This is what we need to do. And everything magically falls out. It actually becomes easier.
Yeah. And then you're really tracking that. If I could summarize what you're saying is that you don't focus on top, middle, or bottom, because that's almost, this is what I'm hearing, it's almost not strategic enough to call it account-based marketing in that way. What you have to do is identify your accounts and meet them where they're at, because they could all be potentially in different spots. And where they're at, that's what is dependent on what that call to action is. In kind of your example of the sales visit, I need awareness first before we can even get the salesperson in there, knowing that's what's needed to get the salesperson to ultimately get the CEO in the door as well, too. And that I think that you're right. It's not a top middle of funnel if you think of it that way. Would you say that's accurate, or what did I get wrong?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think we talk much more about customer journeys in account-based marketing than we talk about funnels. And the funnel is really a simplified customer journey model. And if you're looking again across the whole world of people you're targeting, simplifying makes sense. Trying to decide in this world of 10,000 companies or whatever it is, they're all at this particular stage in the journey is too difficult. So you just go awareness, desire, interest, action, or whatever your funnel model is. And it works. It helps. You know, don't get me wrong. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But when you've got specific companies you're targeting, then you know exactly where they are. And so even if you're targeting quite a large group of companies, and as businesses get better and better at account-based marketing, they tend to target larger and larger audiences. Not always true. Some of the best account-based marketing companies, they have campaigns that run to one company. That's it. They target one company at a time. And they are so good at generating personalized information that it's worth them doing that. Now, typically, you need quite a big sale to obviously be able to, you know, put all your marketing effort into one potential customer. But I think absolutely it's about understanding that customer. And you can do that once you shrink the number down to a manageable number.
What is a manageable number, would you say?
That's a great question. I can tell you it's exactly somewhere between 1 and 1,000 or more.
I felt like you were going to give me a really broad range. At least you didn't say a million. Like, I was waiting for you to be anywhere between this is the range. I feel like with so many marketing answers, it depends. It really does.
It really depends. If you're selling a really complex product, so let me give you an example. Let's say, and this is a market I know nothing about. So if there are people in the aviation market, please email me and tell me what I get wrong, because I know nothing about this. If you're Boeing or you're Airbus and you're trying to sell planes into individual airlines, the value of the order is massive. So you've got the potential to spend significant amounts of money. The sale is incredibly complex and incredibly long. Running campaigns to each individual airline makes sense. Trying to bundle them all together probably doesn't make sense. You probably want to be really focused on doing exactly what you need to the airlines that you care about. And maybe that's the top 20 airlines. Maybe it's the top five. Maybe it's the top 50. It depends on how much resource you get. So you probably want to be focused, and you probably want to spend more money on fewer airlines, because there's a small number of airlines that are probably going to generate the vast majority of your revenue. If you're trying to sell, another example, this is terrible. You should never try and think of examples in the middle of a podcast, because your mind just goes blank.
Comes to mind.
Yeah. But for example, we work with companies that sell software tools that help software engineers write code. And generally speaking, the revenue is reasonably good, but it doesn't justify running a campaign to one company. And quite often, it's very easy to look at groups of companies and say, these have got the same requirements. They're in roughly the same position in terms of the buyer's journey, because, you know, we're new into this market, or there's been a change in this market that requires something else to be done by software engineers to guarantee quality. We can support it. Software engineers are looking for a solution. They don't know us. So very quickly, you can find groups of companies. So you might run a much bigger account-based marketing campaign. Now, obviously, you're spending much less per company than Boeing might be spending, but it's still going to be much more effective than just trying to talk to every software engineer in the world.
Mm, I love this. I love examples too. Even though it took you a moment to get it, you got there. I'm probably not going to get a complete answer for this, but now I want to talk about budget, because I know that I always get those kinds of questions when I'm talking about marketing, whether I'm consulting or in my day job, right? Like, what kind of budget should I start with for account-based marketing? What's a realistic number? If I have, let's say, a list of 500 accounts that I know these are the ones we want to get in front of, and I know exactly what I want to be able to serve them.
Depends how people approach this. Normally, we advise people doing a pilot, and quite often that pilot will be a small percentage of their total budget. So it might be 5%. And they might be trying something specific into one or two potential customers or existing customers. So you start off with a very small percentage of budget. Once you've proven that you can do it and you understand it and you feel good, you then expand that out. And I always think of it in terms of percentage of your total budget rather than being an absolute number. And actually, if you look across our clients, we'll have clients who spend millions, we'll have clients who spend thousands, and they both can run account-based marketing. But typically what we see is that companies that really get into account-based marketing, they can be spending anything between, say, 40 and 70% of their budget on account-based marketing.
Interesting. That is interesting. You have to, it must deliver a really good return on investment. Am I right?
So it does two things. One is, if your marketing's good, or even if your marketing's bad, it's going to be better when you target it. You're much more likely to be hitting the right people if you're really focused. And you also know you've customized the message in some way. So there's some degree of personalization there. So it's going to be more effective. So yeah, you're going to generate better ROI. But also, and I think this is something that's important for marketers to understand, and for, we're all marketers here, we're not going to tell anyone else outside of our profession. It's actually a lot easier to track the results. And so the ROI can often look even better than it is, because you've tracked five companies. It's very easy to see the impact of sales on five different companies. So it's very quick to be able to understand what you've done. Whereas if you're looking at targeting 30,000 companies and you have three new competitors come into the market and your sales go down, does that mean your marketing's made the sales go down? Of course it doesn't. You know, there's other factors. So you can limit down those external factors. And that actually makes it much easier to allocate what you believe is a value you can attribute to marketing. It may not be right, but it's much easier than it is with a large and very broad campaign.
That makes sense. Are there any last minute tips or insights that you want to share before I get to my final question?
I think the thing is, we didn't mention this. I started my career as an electronics engineer. I'm a super geek. I love tools. I love software. I love technology. It's not about the technology, guys. And I think the people that tend to fail in terms of account-based marketing, they buy the tools first and build the campaign second. And the people who tend to succeed, they're building the campaigns and then working out which tools they can use to make them more effective or more efficient. So I would say that's the one important thing. There are a million tools that will be sold to help account-based marketing, and they do in different ways. Not all of them work for all campaigns, but starting with a tool is always a mistake. Starting with the campaign is definitely the way to go.
I couldn't have said that better myself. And software is not cheap. So you want to make sure that you have it right, and then you can hit the ground running, because there's always a ramp time when you get a new technology, whether it's a combination of integration and implementation, right? But man, if I already have my campaigns in gear and I'm like, now I want to use this for that, totally is so much more helpful and effective. I've got a final question for you. If you knew then what you know now, what is the marketing advice that you give yourself?
Oh, that is a great question. It's a really interesting thing. I think I would go back and I would say, when I was starting in marketing, it's so important to network with other marketers. And it's actually really difficult to do that, particularly if you're client side and you're in a specialist industry. So I was working in a semiconductor company in the UK. It's a relatively small world. Almost everybody's your direct competitor, so you don't feel you can network with them. And you think you're very special, so you don't network with other marketers. That's a big mistake. So I would absolutely say to my younger self, go meet more marketers, because I think that would have helped me learn so much more quickly.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I'm just loving so much of these knowledge drops that you've given us today. The networking piece, that one really does hit home. Nothing is, I could copy and paste your strategy over here and it will be different, because we're different people. There's different creatives. Like, I think that we all have the ability to learn so much from one another. And I've definitely learned from you today. So thank you so much for coming on here. It's been an absolute joy.
Thank you, Katya. It's been a great conversation, and I love all the questions. So thank you.
Okay. Well, I hope that you found this episode just as juicy with knowledge bombs as I did. I have got the key takeaways for you. Number one, marketing is about your audience. This seems like it would be something that's really obvious, right? It goes without saying, but you'd be surprised how often brands are thinking of themselves first when marketing. During this episode, we talked about knowing your audience, not just in marketing. Mike referenced being a waiter, which was a fantastic kind of analogy and story, but he referenced being a waiter as his first marketing role. And even then, it was about the audience, right? What comes out of knowing your audience is positioning your brand in the most meaningful way that resonates with that audience and drives them to take action. That's the ultimate goal, right? Key takeaway number two, account-based marketing is focused. Now, ABM is not about quantity. It's really about quality. It forces you to focus on specific companies and even more specific people rather than an entire segment. And then you get to leverage the tools in your marketing toolbox for those audiences. Mike even went so far to say that you should start with two companies when you're trying to test it out. Get real specific and test out two ads, for example. And when I say specific, I mean personalization. You're meeting customers where they're at with the level of personalization you can get. It's really easy to track results in this way. And sometimes it can be easier than tracking the results of something that's larger or intended for a more general audience. So that's his two cents. His tidbit was, if you want to get started, start with two companies and test that out. I loved that, which is a great segue to don't overcomplicate it. There are a million tools out there for you to spend money on for account-based marketing. Don't overcomplicate it. There isn't a need to invest in technology to execute ABM right. Keep it simple. Simple, stupid is what they say, right? Less is more. When you look at all of the people you can market to, regardless of your product or brand, simplification makes your life easier and helps you keep costs down. Spend that marketing budget wisely, my friends. We all know too well how often budgets can get cut. Now, what did you pick up from today's episode? Share in a post on LinkedIn or drop me a line. A special thank you to my podcast producers, the amazing team at Content Allies, and thanks to you for spending your time with me today. Until next time, may the conversation flow, the laughter linger, and the outlook remain optimistic, but grounded in reality. This is Katya, signing off.